Hi, this is Jen Rubin, and this is Jen Rubin's Green Room. You are all no doubt reeling, feeling a combination of shock, horror, disgust, dismay. All of those are a perfectly normal reaction to an absolutely atrocious result. Donald Trump showed us who he wanted. An American said, "Oh, that looks good to me." At some point, you have to treat Americans like adults. They didn't do this because the economy was bad, because Kamala Harris was proposing very rational policies to make the economy better. You cannot blame that they were concerned about the border, because once again, Kamala Harris had border proposals. You cannot say that the economy was in cruddy shape. It's not. The Biden recovery was remarkable. At some level, you have to say that they want a strong man. The meaner, the more nationalistic, the more hateful, the better. That there is a segment of America much longer and much larger entrenched than we ever imagined that simply wants to blame others for their problems. Now, what do you do with that fact? How do you resolve that in a way that allows you to remain in the game in a democratic society? I can say that. You can say what I just did. We can agree that that is, in fact, the problem. But Democrats still have to go out and compete and hopefully win back the government and win back democracy. So what's the appeal that would work in a country like that? Well, I come to the sad realization that misogyny is very much a part of the American scene. And although Kamala Harris ran a magnificent campaign, and I want to underscore something, she did much, much better than Biden's approval rating, which is an anomaly in American politics. In fact, I don't think it's ever been done. In other words, she performed better than he did, but not sufficiently well enough to overcome the drag on her ticket, on her side. So what do you do going forward? You have a misogyny problem. You have a resentment problem. You have a low voter information problem. You have a cynicism problem. Well, I think maybe you start small, and it's not very satisfying, but you got to start with cities and states. And you have to start reminding voters that what they vote for matters and that Democrats can make their lives better. And what's interesting is when push comes to shove, although they may be culturally right-wing and even disturbingly fascistic, they like government that does things for them. So they pass things like a minimum wage increase. They pass a protection for abortion access, as they did in five of the seven states that have reported so far. So in other words, you rebuild the Democratic brand and the connection with government, not at the federal level for now, but at the state and local level. And the second thing you do is you have to start holding Trump and his cronies accountable for the results. The American people voted for this, and they are going to get it in more ways than one. We are going to see mass deportations. We are going to see the politicization of the FDA. We are going to see Ukraine cut off at the knees. And once people understand the consequences of what they vote for, they may be less inclined to make their vote an expression of generic rage and resentment and start thinking a little bit more rationally about who they elect in office. It also means, I think, that Democrats have to be both ruthless and strategic in their politics. What do I mean by that? I mean, use the filibuster for all it's worth, so long as they have it. And mark my words, Mitch McConnell will suddenly be in favor of creating all kinds of exceptions to the filibuster. And they have to be selective. We cannot get outraged over everything because it will be too much and we will lose the public's attention. We have to pick out the big and dangerous things that they are doing. If Trump, for example, defies a court order, if he hands Ukraine over to Putin, if he, for example, attempts to repeal the Affordable Care Act. Those are big things that people care about, and those are worth outrage. The fact that he is going to appoint a bunch of lunatics to executive office is regrettable, but that's the prerogative of the president, and with a Republican Senate, that's who they're going to get. So better to save your fire, not for the appointment and the confirmation, but for the outrages that follow. In other words, you can't be upset about everything all the time, all at once. You have to be strategic and prioritize the things that you are outraged about. Now, the House is still an open matter. It may well go Republican. There are enough, certainly, seats in play. But it's possible Democrats may eke out a very narrow victory. And if so, that will be absolutely critical to holding the line. But there are other ways to hold the line. There are the courts. There are state governments. There is peaceful public action. And I think there is also a sense in the country that Trump is a fading character. I say this very advisedly. He is in decline emotionally, mentally, physically. We may not have Donald Trump to deal with. We may have J.D. Vance to deal with. And I have raised this before, that he may be the power behind the throne almost from the get-go, and eventually maybe president, because I'm not sure Donald Trump is going to survive the full 4 years. That's a different animal altogether. He is much more ruthless, much smarter, much saner, and much more likely to do long-term damage to the country. So if we see some splits, some divides arising between the two of them, it's certainly time to exploit them. And I would certainly plant with Donald Trump the notion that he is a lame duck, and that anything and everything that J.D. Vance does from here on out will be to advance J.D. Vance, not necessarily Donald Trump. So if there is a recipe for backbiting, dissension, distrust, that would be one place to begin. There are some rays of sunshine, and I'll list three of them. First of all, the pro-choice movement has done such a good job of advancing their position and of showing the danger of forced birth bans that even in red states and purple states, voters are voting to protect abortion rights. So I think it's somewhat less likely that a national abortion ban will go into effect. The bad news is Democrats may have lost that as a wedge issue, because the very people who voted, for example, to protect abortion rights in Arizona will vote for Donald Trump for president. So bad news, Democrats may not be able to leverage that to electoral victories. The good news is we may have actually turned the tide on the abortion issue, just as I think at some point gay marriage, gay rights reached a tipping point. So that's a ray of good news, perhaps. Second issue, Donald Trump is going to be responsible for everything. He's going to be responsible for the debt. He's going to be responsible for passing a budget. He's going to be responsible for the next pandemic. He's going to be responsible for the next natural disaster. He's got to govern. And a character like him, who is so incompetent, so irrational, will have such incompetent boobs around him, is going to have to perform at some level. And that's, I think, the point at which we need to go into action. We need to call attention. We need to call him out. We need to hold lawmakers responsible. So with power comes responsibility. And the last thing I'll say is that we have gone through horrendous times before. We've gone through a civil war. We went through Reconstruction. We have had malicious leaders before. And there is a certain equilibrium in the American system. I do not mean guardrails. I do not mean that Donald Trump is going to be restrained. To the contrary, I think he's going to do great damage. But at the end of the day, if he does great damage, as I think he will, and his presidency is a full-blown disaster, as it was the first time, there will be a reckoning, and there will be a pendulum that swings back the other way. So we have to keep our wits about us. You're entitled to fume, to complain, to agonize. Do not blame Kamala Harris for this. She ran a brilliant campaign. And as I said, she ran well above the incumbent president's approval rating, which is almost unheard of. She ran a really brilliantly energetic grassroots campaign. Don't blame her. The American people are responsible for the result. And we're going to have to hold them and Trump accountable for the results. And we're going to have to, beginning, as I say, in state and local government, offer them a sane alternative. And one way or the other, we will muddle through. It may be a very dark time. We may have a recession. We may have another pandemic. Ukraine may fall to the Russians. But nothing is forever. And there will be a time for resurgence. As John McCain used to say, it's always darkest before it's pitch black. And what he meant by that, aside from the humor, is, yeah, things are going to get really bad before they get bad. But we still have one another. We still have the outline of a constitution. We still have federal government, which allows the states a great deal of leeway. And we still have the ability to speak out and protest. And there is a dignity and a honorable path to living in opposition, to living as the conscience of the country and as the party in dissent. And we will do that. And we will carry on. And I hope you will continue to join me on that journey as we find our way, as we look for the green shoots, as we find the ways to hold Trump accountable, and as bit by bit, inch by inch, yard by yard, we claw back our democracy. So keep the faith. Please do not lose hope. Fascists count on demoralization, isolation, cynicism. And if you like this program and you think it offers some hope, some solace, at least a visceral outlet for your anger, please join us. Please follow. Please tell your friends. They can follow us, subscribe, wherever they get their podcasts. Bye-bye.